I'm Father Diaskanis, priest of the Archdiocese of Baltimore, St. Philip Neri, St. Clement parishes. I'm very happy to be with you today. Some of the men from our parishes are here, as well as some of my family from Wilmington, Delaware. So good to be with Father Larry Swink and Father Dan Leary and the other priests and deacons. We're in no hurry, right? We're here to be here. We're not going anywhere else. We're here to receive whatever God wants to give us, whatever he wants to tell us, something different for each of us. And in the course of a retreat, the Mass is the kind of the focal point. It's kind of the center of each day. When whatever we've been hearing or listening or reflecting upon or reading or discussing, bring it to God in Mass. Mass is where we connect what we do down here with him up there. As Father said before Mass, Mass is about worshiping God. It's about seeking God. It's about speaking to God. It's about connecting with God. And so in the course of a retreat, that's where we bring all everything else we experience. We bring it right here. So just kind of enter into the experience of Mass. Mass is kind of timeless, so don't check the time. One of the reflections we're giving today is it's the homily, but it's also a talk. So kind of Mass is an escape. You step into through the doors of a church and you step out of the secular world into the sacred, into the holy, the mysterious, the supernatural. You're allowed to let everything else go for a little while. I mean, you're still living life, and when you leave here, you're going to jump back into it, but this, you know, when you come into a Catholic church, it's a refuge. I'm talking about a man cave. Catholic church, the building is a man cave. It's where men and women worship the Son of Man, God who became man. This is where we encounter him. Through his humanity in the Eucharist and the Mass, but to connect with his divinity. So when you come here, just kind of let God refresh you and lift you. The first reading today from the book of Isaiah speaks of the Sabbath. If you call the Sabbath a delight, if you call the Lord's Day honorable, if you honor it by not following your ways, you will delight the Lord, and you will delight in the Lord. Right? What do we do on the Sabbath? What do we do on Sunday? We go to Mass. Some of us go to Mass on other days as well, but at least on Sunday. So the Isaiah kind of speaks of carving out that time, that Sunday morning or Saturday night. Make it honorable. Call it a delight. Don't begrudge it or bemoan it. Don't rush in and rush out. Let it be the focus. Live from Mass to Mass. The gospel today speaks of Jesus. He calls Matthew. He says, "Follow me." He wants Matthew to be one of his apostles. He was an accountant, a tax collector, working with money. And then Matthew was grateful and asked Jesus to come to his house to have dinner with him and his friends. Jesus ate and drank with the tax collectors and the sinners. That was the criticism of the religious leaders. Why are you eating with tax collectors and sinners? When we come to Mass, we're eating with Jesus. We're eating Jesus. We're the tax collectors and the sinners. We're here because we need help, because we want help, because we want to be better. We want to be the man we could be. We're not even sure what that is, but we have a sense that where I am now isn't what it could be, isn't what it should be. It should be something more. It's so good we made it here this weekend. There's so many things that could have held us back. This retreat is tied into David, King David. He's really an interesting, he's such a conflicted figure. So many high points, so many low points. And yet it's clear that God had great affection for him and that Jesus came from David's family. David kind of contributed the family from which Jesus came. There's a passage in the Old Testament that speaks of David, when David He had been called to work with Saul. He was one of Saul's soldiers, but the more successful David got, the more jealous Saul became, such that Saul eventually wanted to kill David out of jealousy that people he was becoming more popular than himself. So David was hiding from Saul, and he had a group of men around him who followed him. And they had to go from place to place, staying ahead of Saul's army. And one day they didn't have much to eat, and they came near the tabernacle, which was set up outside of Jerusalem, kind of the tent for the Ark of the Covenant, near the Mount of Olives outside of Jerusalem. And he asked the priests who were serving there for bread. And the priest said, "We have no food except for the holy bread, the show bread that's kept in the sanctuary by the Ark of the Covenant, the unleavened bread. But typically only the priests eat that." But the priest gave it to David for him and his men to eat, to give them strength. It's a symbol of the Eucharist. It symbolized the manna that God had given the Jewish people when they were hungry in the desert, this miraculous food, this miraculous bread that showed up, the manna bread. It was a prefigurement of the miraculous bread of the Eucharist that Jesus was going to give us, bread changed into his body and blood, supernatural food, food for our soul. David, in a sense, ate the Eucharist, at least the bread, the holy bread, the mysterious bread that prefigured it. And then it says, after that, David asked for a sword. And the priest said, "The only sword we have is the sword of Goliath that many years ago, David, you took from Goliath and used to cut off his head." David said, "That's a good sword. I'll take that sword." But that's interesting, the link between eating the showbread and then going out to fight. In a sense, today we receive communion to strengthen us to go out and fight, to fight our own weaknesses and sins and temptations, to fight the bad ideas in the world, to counter them, to speak up for truth, to fight sin, to protect our families, protect our friends, protect the church, protect our country. We need strength and courage and conviction and strong will from God to go out and defend others. There's also a passage of David bringing the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. The Ark was that gold container with angels over top that contained the commandments, the stone tablets with the Ten Commandments. It was a symbol of God's promise to us. If we follow the commandments, if we try to obey God and trust him, that he will bless us. The Ark of the Covenant then is a prefigurement of the Catholic tabernacle today, the gold container with angels above it that holds the showbread, the Eucharist, the bread that changes into the body and blood of Jesus at Mass. And it says when David was bringing in that ark, he prayed in front of the Ark of the Covenant. It says he offered sacrifices of bulls and sheep. And then it says he prayed and he danced, but like a strong dance, like he was tired after. He exerted himself in prayer, praising God and worshiping God. That's the Mass, where we come and we exert ourselves. We try to focus and pay attention and listen and receive what God wants us to give. So we are very much in solidarity with David, praying in front of the tabernacle, preparing to receive the mysterious Eucharist, the bread that came from heaven. You know, as priest, I figured out I offer Mass at least 11 times a week. This past week, I think it was 14 times. Sunday Mass, of course, in church and daily Masses, but then on my free day in the rectory, in the chapel, in the private, in nursing homes, in the prisons, at school Masses, funeral Masses. About at least on average 11 times a week, which means that I consume God in the Holy Eucharist about every 16 hours. I'm sure Father Larry is about the same. When I calculated that, I just stepped back. I mean, we do it all the time, but we don't actually think about it. I consume Jesus in Holy Communion every 16 hours. He's just continually flowing through me in my body and soul. This is what Catholics do. We bring our life to Mass. We celebrate baptisms at Mass. We celebrate funerals at Mass. We celebrate weddings at Mass. We have masses for men's groups. We have masses for school children. We have masses for firefighters and police officers. We have masses for doctors. You know, most of us, if we go to Mass once a week, we consume communion every 168 hours, if you go once a week. For priests, most of us, it's 16 hours. A lot of Catholics don't go every week. They might go every 2 weeks or every 336 hours. Some Catholics go once a year. I don't know how many hours that is. Get your calculator out. A lot of Catholics today don't think Mass is a big deal. What's the big deal? I go where I don't go. What's the point anyway? It's okay. If it makes you, if it helps you, great. It's interesting. Sometimes I think the devil thinks Mass is a bigger deal than we do as Catholics. We can take it for granted. Some of you know the story of St. Oscar Romero, the Archbishop in El Salvador, back in the 80s. A difficult time in that country, struggle between communist forces and an authoritarian government, and the church is in the middle. Like, whichever way you go, it's not a good choice. You're just trying to speak up for your people and protect your people. Their parishioners were being murdered, priests were being murdered. He spoke up against injustice. But the government and the communists tried to crush the church. Like, what do you care? Why do you care about the church? You do your thing at Mass, you dress up, you do some little kind of ceremony with bread and wine, it's kind of cute, whatever. Why do you care? They cared. They murdered him as he was celebrating Mass. As he held up the chalice, as he consecrated the wine into the blood of Christ, as he held up the blood of Christ, they shot him. And literally his blood poured out, and as he dropped the chalice, the blood of Jesus and the blood of Archbishop Oscar mingled together. Why do they care? They murdered him at Mass. If you read the story of Catholics in England in the 1500s, when England became Protestant, okay, you have an argument with the Pope, you're not sure about papal infallibility, where is it in the Bible, I don't understand, I don't want to obey the Pope. Okay, Henry VIII, fine. Why do you got to kill all the priests? Why is it a crime that will be executed for celebrating Mass? Why do you care about Mass? Just do your own thing. Why, if a priest celebrate Mass, will you hang, draw, and quarter him? Why is it such a big deal? Why are you going to hang him until he almost dies? Then you cut him down before he dies. And then you stretch him, pulling his innards apart. Then you cut him open and pull it all out. Why? And then you cut off his head. Why is Mass such a big deal? The devil thinks so. Mass is the bridge between heaven and earth, between the visible and the invisible. That's Jesus, right? God became visible. He connected, he came down to earth to connect earth to heaven. We were always connected spiritually. He made it visible. He came in a physical body. You could see it, you could touch it, you could hear him speak. He's the bridge. Jesus is God and man together. He shows us that we're supposed to be together. And in Mass, he comes down again, doesn't he? At every Mass, bread changes into God. He becomes visible like he did in Bethlehem. That's God. Did the baby in the manger look like God? No, it looked like a baby in a manger. Does the host look like God? No, it looks like a host. It looks like unleavened bread. But the baby was God, and the Eucharist is God. We are meant to be united to God. We were created by God, right? That's how we came into existence. He created us. We didn't choose the circumstance of our existence, how we came to be, which parents we would have, what country we would be born in, what period of time. God made us individually, each of us. And when we die, God intends that we go back to him, and we hope we go to heaven. So we were made by God. We're supposed to go back to God. What should we be doing in the middle? We probably should be living with God. We probably should be thinking about him. We probably should be connecting with him. It's the purpose of our existence. But it's so easy to forget that, isn't it? We get so caught up in the little details and duties. They're real. We have to eat. We have to survive. But why are we surviving? For what? Mass reminds us. In a certain sense, we should live from communion to communion. I was at daily Mass recently and distributing Holy Communion to the people. Many of them come every day. And I thought, this is so simple, but so real. If there is a God and he made me to know him and love him and serve him now and into eternity in heaven, and then I come to Mass and I receive communion, God is inside of me, and then I just walk through the day with him. I go to my job with him. I go home to my family with him. I hang out with my friends with him. Yeah, it's just very natural. I do everything through him, with him, and in him. It makes sense, doesn't it? And then I die and I continue to do everything through him, with him, and in him. It just makes sense. When you hear it that way, you're like, yeah, it makes sense. At least once a week. Why not every day? It's difficult. But I could try. If God made human beings as the only creature that could relate to him, right? Animals don't understand God. They don't speak to God. They serve him in their own way. They just do what they're supposed to do. Trees and rocks, they just do what they're supposed to do. Humans is the one creature that could know God. We think about things we can't see, and we're the one creature that could choose God. We have free will, for good or bad. But if we're made to be able to know him, and if we're made to be able to choose him, it makes sense at some point that he would come to earth to help that unfold. The mystery is that he didn't come sooner. But it also doesn't make sense that he would come and then leave. It makes sense that he would stay, if that's the reason we were created. And that's what Catholic Christians understand. He did stay. That's him. Somehow, that's God. The night before Jesus died, the night before he left us, he created a new way that he would be visible on earth. For 33 years, he was visible in the human body. For the next 2,000 years since then, he's remained visible in the Holy Eucharist. Bread changes into his body, his soul, and his divine nature. Truly God and truly man in the Eucharist. It's God. In John chapter 6, this was sometime before the Last Supper, before the night he died. Jesus said, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. The one who eats me will have life because of me." Wow. How strange. How weird. How wonderful. Gosh, is there a God? How do I connect to him? Eat him. What? Eat him. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Literally, I will be inside of you. Like, I will hang out in your stomach for a few minutes, and then I will dissipate into your blood, and then I will remain in your soul. How do I connect with God? Eat him. Everyone can connect with God in some sense. He just gave us a very visible, tangible, physical, clear way to do it. You receive communion and you know in that moment, God is inside of me. Doesn't that take away a lot of the uncertainty of life? A few days ago on Monday, I was called to a home of a longtime parishioner who was dying. And she was losing awareness and consciousness. But as I came in and I was praying with the family, we tried to give her Holy Communion and wasn't sure that she would be able to receive it because she was losing consciousness. So we took a small piece of the host and put it on a spoon with a little bit of water so we could pour it in her mouth. God was in her mouth. And she died 6 hours later. God was in her mouth. God was in her blood. God was in her soul. If you die and God is in you, God is in you. If you die and God isn't in you, God isn't in you. What about all those people who can't receive communion? I don't know. God can work in other ways, but I don't know. But I know that she had God in her mouth. God was in her, and so she's going to heaven. Is that clear? Is that simple? That's too easy. It is, isn't it? How can you eat God? I don't know, but isn't it awesome? You can. Jesus said so. The apostles said, okay. It's no stranger than the baby in the manger being Jesus. Jesus doesn't wear Pampers. He doesn't wear diapers. But he did. Bread can't change into God, I agree, but it did. Our Catholic faith is recognizing what happened and then trying to understand it. And we spend our whole lives trying to understand it. St. John Chrysostom was a priest in the early centuries. He had a great image of Mass. He said, "Let us return from that altar like lions breathing fire, having become terrible to the devil, thinking on God and on the love which with he has shown for us." Brothers, when you walk out of church today, be like lions breathing fire. Terrible and frightening to the devil, because God is inside of you. You're not frightening to the devil. I'm not, but God is. And if he's inside of you, we are. That's what Mass is. Someone said it must be neat to be the priest. Every morning you wake up and do battle with the devil. I'm like, that's a good image. I'm going to remember that. I don't always remember that. I don't always think of that. But in a certain sense, it's true. But guess what, brothers? It's true for each of us. It's supposed to be. Every morning we wake up, we offer our day, a morning offering to God, and we go and do battle with the devil. It's not all about fighting the devil, right? There's a lot of joys and consolations, but we know the temptation and evil is never lurking far away. Especially in today in America and in the United States. So many evil ideas being proposed to us and our children. So why the Mass? What I'd like to do is walk through the Eucharistic prayer that we use at Mass. We're going to use it at this Mass, the first Eucharistic prayer. There's four prayers that a priest could choose. The first one is the oldest. It goes back to the early centuries. And it's kind of the fullest. It has a lot of imagery. Sometimes in the interest of time, a priest might choose one of the shorter ones, but the first Eucharistic prayer is the one that's been prayed the most in our history. So I want to walk through some parts of it. We want to get more out of Mass. We've been coming to Mass. We want to get more out of Mass. Why the Mass? First, to have communion with God. Communion with God. So why go to Mass, right? Our children ask us that. We might ask ourselves. If God says, "I'm going to come down to earth and become visible. I've got a lot of things to do. I'm trying to hold this universe together, billions of stars, scientists tell us today, planets, gravity, angels and demons, human history, the whole planet Earth. But I'm going to come down to a little town called Malvern, Pennsylvania, just to spend time with you men. I'm God." I'm going to come down to your parish church and hang out in your town. And I'm God. I'm going to come down. How often should we go and be with him? Some people say once a year. I'll go hang out. I'll be there once a year. It's a fair question. Is it once a year? Is it once a month? Is it once a week? Is it every day? How often should we go? It's a fair question. Jesus said every 7 days, at least, keep holy the Sabbath. But that kind of makes sense because we live in a rhythm of 7 days, don't we? We live in 7 days. Whether you like it or not, we have what we call a weekend. It ends the week and then we start a new week. We live in a cycle of 7 days. So that's kind of the experience of our life. So it makes sense that once every 7 days, we should stop and focus on God and remember why we're here, right? Someone said, "That's what makes us different from cows." Cows are very content. Cows do what God asks them to do. They eat and sleep and reproduce and give us milk and steak. We're not cows. At least once a week, stop and look up and say, "Oh, I'm not a cow. I'm a human. I have a spiritual soul. I'm eternal. I'm destined for heaven. I'm to connect with God and do great things." A lot of people today live like cows. They eat and sleep and reproduce. Mass reminds us of why we're here. God comes to earth and we come to God. We consume Jesus in Holy Communion that gives us strength, as St. John Chrysostom said. There's like a fire inside of us. Even as Jesus dissipates, the Holy Spirit fills us. The Holy Spirit came like fire at Pentecost. Holy Communion gives us strength to pull our mind, body, and soul in harm. We're so weak, we're so inconsistent. We make commitments and we break them. We're so lustful, we're so angry, we're so lazy. We're so inconsiderate, right? As men, we can be pretty oblivious sometimes. You know, our wife say, How did you miss that? How do you not see that? The parish staff says, Father, how did you forget that? How did you not do that? I need help. We go to Mass first to consume Jesus in Holy Communion. We look at the Eucharistic prayer. We say, Lord, in humble prayer we ask you, command that these gifts be borne to your altar in heaven, that we may be filled with every grace and heavenly blessing. Fill us with grace, Lord. Bless us. We come at least once a week to receive your grace, to renew your presence within us. It's mysterious, right? Why don't we just need to go once a year or once in our lifetime? I receive God and I've got God and I'm good and I'm strong for the rest of my life. It could have worked that way. Nothing works that way, does it? You work out really well for 2 weeks, exercise, you're lifting weights, then you don't do it for 2 months. What happens? It's gone. You wash your car in the middle of the summer, it's dusty and hot. What happens in 2 weeks? It's dirty. You cut your grass in the middle of May. What happens in a week? It's overgrown. You paint your house in a few years? It's dingy. You take a shower and what happens in 24 hours? You're dirty. You eat breakfast and what happens in 4 hours? You're hungry. Nothing lasts. This is who we are. We have to keep renewing God's presence. As the body is hungry, so is the soul. That we might be filled with every grace and blessing. It's the most obvious reason in the world why to go to Mass. Why should I go to Mass? To eat God. Tell that to your children. Why should I go to Mass? To eat God. Got it? Okay, let's go. We're not worthy to receive God. We say, to us also your servants, who those sinners, like the priest strikes his breast, right? Someone says, like you're playing basketball and you shoot it and you get nothing but air. You're like, oh man, my bad. To us also your servants, who those sinners, hope in your abundant mercies. I'm not worthy to receive you, Lord, but you want to give yourself to me. And so I eat you. The most obvious reason, the most compelling reason in the world to go to that he who eats me has life because of me. Strength for the week ahead. Some of you know of St. Damien of Malachi. It's one of the most heroic American saints. I remember reading about him when I was young. And I thought, I wish I could be like that. I'm not that courageous. I'm not that generous. He was serving on Molokai, and then leprosy broke out, and they said, we need priests to go to this corner of this isolated island where we're quarantining all those with leprosy. We're sending them there, and they're going to die. They might be 10 years old. They might be 70 years old. They're all stuck there to die, but they want a priest to come. But if you go, you can't come back because you're going to get leprosy too. He said, I'll go. But you can't come back. But they want a priest, right? Yeah, I'll go. It's like, wow, I wish I could be like that. It stunk. Their bodies were decaying with leprosy. It smells. You smell the sewers. When Damien was in the confessional, he would smoke a pipe. We're usually not allowed to do that. But it smelled so bad. He smoked the pipe so he wouldn't smell the penitent who was right up in his face. They were Hawaiian. He didn't know them. He was from Belgium. He probably barely spoke the language. It was a foreign culture. It was hard to have friendship on an island with Hawaiians dying of leprosy. He said, I find my consolation in the one and only companion that will never leave me, Jesus in the Eucharist. At the foot of the altar in the chapel every day, I find the strength necessary in this isolation. Were it not for his constant presence in this chapel, I would not have found it possible to persevere in sharing the lot of the lepers in Molokai. The Eucharist is the bread that gives me strength. You can't fake that. He didn't pretend. It is God. It gave him the strength to do something most of us couldn't do. One day, as Damien was preaching in the pulpit, like I am now, to the lepers, he said, we lepers seek God. He had contracted the disease and he died of it. But Jesus was his friend along the way in the Eucharist. A second reason we go to Mass, first is to consume Jesus, to eat God. Secondly, to give meaning to our life, right? We get something from God. We also go to give something. We come to worship God in Mass. What do I get out of it? Stop whining. Come and worship God. at least once every 7 days. God gives us 168 hours in the week. Give him one back. What are you giving up for Lent? If your friends aren't going to church, say, what are you giving up for Lent? Donuts. How about giving up an hour on Sunday? How about that? Give up an hour. Give up your time, an hour on Sunday to go to church. Someone said, you know, it's like walking down the street and someone comes up and says, hey, it's your lucky day. I'm looking for someone to give $168 to. What? Candid camera? No, $168. It's yours. Thanks. The guy walks away. Half a block, he turns around, he comes back, he says, oh, I forgot. I got to pay the meter where I parked my car. Can I have $1 back? Sure. God asked for 1 hour back. He asked for more than that, but at least 1 hour back. Maybe we can give him an hour a day. We go to Mass to offer our life to God. How did King David offer sacrifice to God? He said, anyone got a bull? Anyone got a cow? Here, let me cut its throat. Okay. Anyone got a sheep? Yeah, let me cut its throat. Okay. Is that how we pray around here? Yep. One of the priests in Baltimore, he's a hunter. He said, I think every seminarian should have to kill a deer once and gut it. Like, what? He said, that's what the Jewish priests used to do. They got the blood of the animal. But thanks be to God, that's not how we don't do that at Mass, do we? That's not a tradition here, is it, on these retreats? We'd really be like King David. That'd be kind of like doing what he did. No, what do we offer now? We don't offer our stuff. We don't offer a pet dog. We could offer a pet. You can bring your dog. We don't give, you know, our car or our house. What do we give? When you come to Mass, you say, I give you my life. I give you all the hours I spent at work, the time I exerted with my family, the time with my friends. I give you my life, God. I try to live for you. That's what I give you at Mass. It's my sacrifice. I offer it. And then all of a sudden, everything I do has significance, doesn't it? Nothing is insignificant. And when I've been sinful, I realize I can't offer that. I can't offer you Tuesday night. I can't offer you what I did on Friday night with my friends at the bar. I can't offer you that movie I watched. I can't offer you what I said to my wife Saturday morning. We're reflecting on how we're living. Are we living in a way that pleases God or not? We see this language in the Eucharistic prayer. A lot of Catholics don't realize this. We're going to give something to God. Who are we praying for at Mass? We're praying for ourselves and for others. We're offering these intentions to God. Not just going to get something. We pray, Lord, we offer you firstly for your Holy Catholic Church with your servant, Francis, our Pope, and our bishop. Who's the bishop now? Perez, Bishop Archbishop Perez. First name, not sure. New bishop in Philadelphia. Any Philadelphia men? No, okay. Or if you are, you don't know his name and you don't want to admit it. We pray for the living, Lord. We pray for all gathered here. For them, we offer you this sacrifice of praise for the redemption of their souls and hope of health and well-being, paying their homage to you. That's powerful. What are we praying for at Mass? For the living, for what? For the first, for the redemption of their souls. I'm praying that I will go to heaven. Not that I get a raise this week. Not that I get a date with that girl I've been trying to attract. Not that I win the lottery. I pray for the redemption of my souls in hope of health and well-being. I also pray for my health and well-being. Give me what I need, Lord, to support my family or to what I need to survive. And paying their homage to you. But I also come, Lord, just to pay homage to you. The words are very instructive of why what we're trying to accomplish in that hour of Mass. We focus in on those words. Admittedly, it's hard to follow them when you hear them, but if you have a prayer book with them, those words take on a deeper meaning. Therefore, Lord, we pray, graciously accept this oblation of our service. Accept this offering, this oblation, this sacrifice. We're offering something to God. We, your servants and your holy people, offer to your glorious majesty this pure victim. We are offering Jesus in the Eucharist. We are with Jesus, we're offering our life to you, Father. In the Mass, Jesus offers his life, right? What he did on the cross is continued throughout time. This is my body and blood, Lord. This is my life which I offer to you, Father. Literally, I die on the cross for you, Father. And when we come in Mass, we say, I'm with him, Father. I offer you my life with Jesus. My offering is distracted and inconsistent and imperfect, but I'm with him. With Jesus, I offer my life week by week. And I also offer my prayers for the dead. Remember also, Lord, your servants who have gone before us with the sign of faith and rest in the sleep of peace. With them, I'm offering my life. Bless us, Father. And that powerful prayer, for me, it's, I think, the most powerful prayer in the Mass. As the priest lifts the body and the blood, he says, through him and with him and in him. Catholics can really are the only ones who can say that in a certain sense. Because we consume Jesus in Holy Communion, we say, Father, I am offering my life through him, with him, and in him. He literally is inside of me. He's flowing through my blood, my veins. He's in my soul. Through Jesus, with Jesus, and in Jesus, I offer my life to you, Father. You know, God can't say no to that. He can't say no to the life of Jesus. There's no prayer like the Mass. You can't do that in your kitchen at home. You can't do that in the living room. You can't do that in your backyard. You can't do it in your car on the way to work. You can pray in all those places, but not this way. You can't pray with Jesus inside of you to the Father. We're consuming Jesus in the Eucharist, getting strength. We're offering our lives to God, giving something back. Why else do we go to Mass? The Mass is a chance to stand by Jesus at the cross. We say that somehow the life of Jesus is encapsulated in the Mass. He lived for 33 years, but somehow his entire life is played out in that 1 hour. That's mysterious, right? But remember, Jesus is outside of time. He's eternal. He's God. How did the life of Jesus begin? He was conceived in the womb of Mary, and then he was born in Bethlehem and became visible, right? What happens at Mass? Bread is consecrated by the priest, and it becomes Jesus. He becomes visible. It's like you're there in Bethlehem with the shepherds and the wise men. At Christmas Mass, we don't just remember it, we do it. It's called Christ Mass. The first Christ Mass was in Bethlehem. We're going to have it right here. We're in the middle of it right now. In his life, Jesus blessed people with grace. He cured sick people. He cured people possessed by the devil. He gave them grace and strength to break their addictions and sins. At Mass, he does the same. We're with Jesus. He's blessing us with grace. At the end of his life, he was hung on a cross. They broke his body. They pierced his side and the blood flowed out. What does the priest do at Mass? He takes that host, Jesus, and he breaks it. He fractures it. His body is broken. But 3 days later, Jesus came back to life, didn't he? His body and soul, which were separated in death on the cross, he was laid in the tomb, but 3 days later, his body and soul came back together, didn't they? He rose from the dead. Later in the Mass, the priest takes the fragment of the host and the chalice of blood, his body and blood, and reunites them. He takes the host and mingles it with the blood in the chalice. It's the resurrection. You're there on Easter Sunday night as Jesus comes back. Somehow his whole life is encapsulated, and we're there. We're like the apostles. That doesn't happen in our kitchen at home. We see that in the Mass, in some of the prayers. He says, take this, all of you, and eat. This is my body, which is given up for you on the cross. Take this, all of you, and drink it. This is the chalice of my blood, which will be poured out for you on the cross. Do this to remember me. What do we say in the memorial acclamation after the consecration? We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again. Somehow your death is unfolding in your resurrection in this Mass. We're there. You came to earth. We should be there if we care about you. Another reason to go to Mass, a fourth reason, first, to consume Jesus, to get strength. Secondly, to offer our life to Jesus, to give back, to sacrifice. It gives meaning to our life. Third, to stand with Jesus in his life, to walk with him as Mary did from his birth to his death and resurrection. Fourth, also to be in communion with the saints and the angels, not just Jesus. This connects heaven and earth. There's a video that came out recently, The Veil, The veil removed, some of you might have seen it. It's an artistic attempt to kind of show what's happening invisibly in the Mass. Angels and saints are there. We're not praying alone. We're praying with the Pope, we're praying with the bishop, the diocese. We're also praying with the angels and saints in heaven. The first Eucharistic prayer makes this very clear. At the beginning, we say, in communion with those whose memory we venerate, especially the Virgin Mary, the Mother of God, Blessed Joseph, her spouse, your blessed apostles and martyrs, Peter and Paul, Andrew, James, John, Thomas, James, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Simon, and Jude, the apostles, Linus, Cletus, Clement, Sixtus, the first popes, all martyred, Cornelius, Cyprian, the first bishops, Lawrence and Chrysogonus, the deacon and the priest, John and Paul, Roman soldiers, Cosmas and Damian, physicians, doctors, and all your saints, we ask that through their merits and prayers, we may be defended. All these holy men and women who gave their life for Jesus are in heaven and praying for us and with us. Admit us, we beseech you, into their company, not weighing our merits, but granting us your pardon. Now, Lord, and in heaven, may we be with them. And then at the end of the Mass, we call upon the other angels and saints. We seek fellowship with your apostles and martyrs, John the Baptist, Stephen, Matthias, and Barnabas. And then there's an optional grouping of saints, Ignatius, Alexander, Marcellinus, Peter, Felicity, Perpetua, Agatha, Lucy, Agnes, Cecilia, and Anastasia. That's a lot of saints, right? There's thousands and thousands. Fortunately, the church stopped there. Could have gone on a lot longer. My brothers, the Mass is so complicated. There's so many parts. There's so much to ponder, so deep to go. Such a gift from God. It's so good that we can celebrate it together today. Go deeper into it. Read the prayers of the Mass. Love the Mass. The final reason we go to Mass, Jesus said so. That's always our default answer as Catholics, right? Why do we do that? Why do we believe that? Jesus said so. Where? I'm not sure, but I know he said so. But I'll find out. Do this to remember me. And so we do today. Amen.